Balaba Giribanadari. Gopijana Balaba Giribanadari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Bihari. Gopijana Balava Giribanadari. Gopijana Balava Giribanadari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Bihari. Gopijana Balava Giribanadari. Gopijana Balava Giribanadari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. 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 Yamuna Tira Banachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava. Bihari.
Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki
Jai
Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki
Jai
Premchiko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki
Jai
Shri Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shyamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhana ki
Jai
Vrindavan Dham ki
Jai
Navadeep Dham ki
Jai
Gangamayi ki, Jamunamayi ki, Shrimati Tulsi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text number 12. This chapter is entitled Questions by the Sages. Sutta Janasi Bhadramte.
Sutta Janasi Bhadramte.
Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi.
Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi.
Devakyam Vasudevasya.
Devakyam Vasudevasya.
Jatoyasa Chikir Saya.
Jatoyasa Chikir Saya.
Sutta Janasi Bhadramte.
Sutta Janasi Bhadramte.
Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi.
Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi.
Devakyam Vasudevasya.
Devakyam Vasudevasya.
Jatoyasa Chikir Saya.
Jatoyasa Chikir Saya.
Sutta Janasi Bhadramte.
Sutta Janasi Bhadramte.
Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi.
Devakyam Vasudevasya.
Sutta.
Sutta.
O Sutta Goswami.
O Sutta Goswami.
Janasi.
Janasi.
You know. Badram te.
Badram te.
All blessings upon you.
All blessings upon you.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
The personality of Godhead.
The personality of Godhead.
Satvatam.
Satvatam.
Of the pure devotees.
Of the pure devotees.
Patahi.
Patahi.
The protector.
The protector.
Devakyam.
Devakyam.
In the womb of Devaki.
In the womb of Devaki.
Vasudevasya.
Vasudevasya.
By Vasudev.
By Vasudev.
Jataha.
Jataha.
Born of.
Born of.
Yasya.
Yasya.
For the purpose of.
For the purpose of.
Chikirasya.
Chikirasya.
Executing. The translation and the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. All blessings upon you, O Sutta Goswami. You know for what purpose the personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Devaki as the son of Vasudeva. Purport. Bhagavan means the Almighty God, who is the controller of all opulence, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. He is the protector of his pure devotees. Although God is equally disposed to everyone, he is especially inclined to his devotees. Sat means the absolute truth, and persons who are servitors of the absolute truth are called satvatas. And the personality of Godhead, who protects such pure devotees, is known as the protector of the satvatas. Badram te, or blessings upon you, indicates the sage's anxiety to know the absolute truth from the speaker. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared to Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. Vasudeva is the symbol of the transcendental position wherein the appearance of the Supreme Lord takes place. So the translation once again. All blessings upon you, O Sutta Goswami. You know for what purpose the personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Devaki as the son of Vasudeva. Om Gyana Timurandasya Ganangana Salakaya Chaksurum Vikam Dena Tasma Shri Gurave Maha Mukam Kuroti Vachalam Pangam Lundi Tejurim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Shri Gurave Vidhara Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Vyeva Cha Patita Nam Pavane Vyo Vaishnava Vyo. So this is a very wonderful verse of the sages of Namacharanya asking questions of Sutta Goswami. And it starts out, all blessings upon you. So I also want to ask for blessings from everyone so that I may say something that will be pleasing to you and pleasing to my spiritual master. And hopefully it talks about what the purpose of the personality of Godhead is. So hopefully I can also represent what the purpose that Krishna appears. And actually his, the same purpose as his devotees. So this is very instructive about the blessings. Here they're giving blessings to Sutta Goswami. And there is one time in Mayapur, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was going to go behind the Iron Curtain and preach. And he asked Srila Prabhupada for blessings. And Prabhupada gave him full blessings. And then everybody else in the room, he said, you also give blessings. And they said, but Prabhupada, you already gave him blessings, you know, what can we do? And Srila Prabhupada said, no. Every Vaishnav has the power to give some blessings, so you also bless him. And I thought that was, you know, very instructive that We can get blessings and give blessings. We have some power, and it's actually in our line of Vaishnav etiquette. Krishna's killing and Krishna's blessings are the same, because he's the absolute, and everything he does is all good. Also, for a pure devotee, his blessings and his cursing are good. They have the same effect, because he knows what they're asking here about Suta Goswami is the purpose of the Lord. So, of course, the purpose of the Lord is later answered in the next chapter, the last verse of the next chapter, chapter 2, text 34. I'll just read it real quickly as soon as I find it. And this is Suta Goswami answering this question about the purpose of the Lord. So this is text 34. Thus the Lord of the universes maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men, and lower animals. Assuming the roles of incarnations, he performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. So this is why the Lord comes, to actually reclaim all the fallen conditioned souls. And we should be very enlivened and convinced of this, that actually Krishna wants us to come back home, back to Godhead, more than we want to go. Of course, we have to do our part. We have to be sincere and try with enthusiasm. But he actually wants us to come back more than we want to go. And that's why he comes in all his different incarnations, just to try to get the souls to come back again to him. So Kartik is coming up, and this story of the binding of Lord Krishna is very significant, because it also has to do with this blessings from Narada Muni. And we were just saying, like, his blessing and his curse, they have the same effect. So Nali Kuvera and Mani Griva, who were the sons of Kuvera, who is the treasurer of the demigod, very responsible post. And they were his sons, but because they were the sons of a rich man, what sometimes happens is they became addicted to intoxication and association of the opposite sex. In the story, Srila Prabhupada goes great length in the Krishna book explaining how dangerous it can be to have a lot of wealth and the advantages of being poor, that actually you don't become as puffed up, you can't become eat so many opulent foodstuffs. He goes on and on about the advantages of being poor, and you're easily approachable by a sadhu or a sage who can give you transcendental knowledge. If you notice, most rich people, you know, they have like big gates in front of their houses or whatever. It's hard to actually go see them. And if you actually have a lot of money, you have to see, oh, is this person associating with me because he wants something? Or is it just, you know, in friendship? So they're a little bit on guard. And Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, he explains a lot of this. But when Narada Muni came and he saw these Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva in this degraded condition, they were intoxicated and they were enjoying with lots of women in the river, he took compassion on them, that he actually wanted to see their welfare, so he cursed them. And his curse was, you become so irresponsible, you don't even cover yourself. I curse you to take birth as trees, but you'll take birth as trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So that was a great benediction. And in the future, they would see Krishna face to face. And not only did he curse them to take trees, but he gave them the remembrance. They could remember their previous birth, and they knew why they were being cursed to stand as trees. Now, standing as a tree is not a very easy thing. If we had to stand still for a long time, it would be very difficult because everyone has a propensity for activity. But that's why a tree, he's cursed just to stand still so that he can't cause any more trouble. So they were standing as trees, but they had this remembrance. And of course, it may get very hot in the summer or it may get cold in the winter. They can't take any relief from all these elements. But a tree is also mentioned by Lord Chaitanya. It's become as tolerant as a tree. So actually we can learn these things from the tree. But it was Narada Muni's compassion that they took these births as a tree just so that they could see Krishna. And of course, the whole pastime we all know with Mother Yasoda binding up Lord Krishna. And Krishna wanting to perform this pastime of fulfilling Narada Muni's curse or his blessing upon these two. And he pulled the grinding mortar that he was bound to, and he knocked down the twin Arjuna trees, which are very big trees. Now, there is, in the Juhu temple, there's an Arjuna tree in the courtyard. It's not very big, but I went up and I tried to shake it. And it's very stiff and very strong. These Arjuna trees grow very big, and they're very strong. And it's must have been very, very difficult to pull over. Of course, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, it was very easy for him to pull over these twin Arjuna trees. And when he did this, Nalikuvera and Manigriva, they came out of the tree body and they appeared in their form of demigods, and very beautiful demigods, the son of Kuvera. And they offered these wonderful prayers to Krishna. And they were very grateful of the curse of Narada Muni because it was actually a benediction and they got to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna was very pleased with their prayers and he said that they would, in this very lifetime, they would become completely pure. So this is the purpose of the Lord and the purpose of his pure devotees. Also, of course, we know Srila Prabhupada, just from this love and compassion of this one person, Srila Prabhupada, the whole ISKCON, you know, has spread all over the world. The Hare Krishna movement has spread. So this is the purpose of the Lord. And this was a very good question that the sages asked. It wasn't actually like a direct question, but it was worded in such a way that it was a question. They were saying that you already know the purpose of the Supreme Lord, but what they were actually saying is we want to know also, and please explain it to us, you know, the purpose of the Lord. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, you know, gets right into Bhagavan, you know, one who has all these six opulences. And this verse is very clear. They're asking about the personality of Godhead. And he appeared in the womb of Devaki. He's the son of Vasudeva. So there should be, you know, no doubt they want to establish Krishna is a person, and he is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva, Vyasadeva, also in the Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't say, you know, Krishna Uvacha. He always says Bhagavan Uvacha. Because he, even though Krishna is speaking, he's very careful to establish that Krishna is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's important. I can't remember the quote about Srila Prabhupada saying that you should know your audience. But in so many words, he said it's very important to know your audience. He told, like Sarup Damodar, to preach to the scientists in their own language. And when he was in New Vrindavan, someone asked him, it was my godbrother Taru, about how we should preach to the farmers. He answered it in such a simple way, not quoting, Bhagavad Gita slokas, not, saying, what we as devotees usually talk like, but he presented it in a simple way, and we should know how to preach to who we're talking to so that it can be understandable. So, also, it's interesting in this purport, it says that Prabhupada uses the word anxiety. And usually we think of anxiety as something bad, but it said, Bhadram te, or blessings upon you, indicate the sage's anxiety to know the absolute truth from the speaker. So this, it's not really like an anxiety. Anxiety comes from the word anxious. And this is actually the secret to success in Krishna consciousness, is that we have to be very anxious to hear. Srila Prabhupada used to say this was his qualification, and his spiritual master Bhaktisiddhanta pointed it out, that this person is very anxious to hear. He likes to hear. And he said that was his qualification. So we should also have this anxiousness. The secret of success in Krishna consciousness is this anxiousness. We have to want to become Krishna conscious more than anything else. And Krishna will help us. So Srila Rupa Goswami, he mentions three things. This enthusiasm, confidence, and patience that are very important for advancement in spiritual life. You know, even in material life, if you don't have enthusiasm, nothing gets accomplished. So this enthusiasm is very, very important. And also confidence. We have to have enthusiasm, and we have to be confident that this is the right thing to do. And all these promises that Krishna makes, in the Bhagavad Gita to give us reassurance, to get us to come back to him, we have to be confident of that. And we have to have patience. And patience, this enthusiasm with patience really helps us to have this steady determination. So I was also thinking that one of these qualities that we read a few verses earlier about all the bad qualities of Kali Yuga, one of them is laziness. And this is throughout Kali Yuga, this laziness, we have to combat it. Especially in chanting. Now, when I was a devotee in Boston, Satsarup sent a letter to Srila Prabhupada requesting that myself and a few other devotees that, he accept them as his disciples for first initiation. I think this was in April of 71. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back this letter to Satsarup. And I remember right where he read it. It was in the hallway in the Boston Temple, and we had all gathered around. And there was a little bit about Satsarup and his editing work, because he was always asking questions. And at the end of the letter, he said, The devotees that you have recommended for initiation, I will surely accept. But I'm coming to Boston shortly to install the deities there. So just tell them to wait. And in the meantime, tell them to chant hard. So, and I've checked through all the, I remember exactly where he was when he read this letter. We were all around. And, because it was one of those things that really penetrated my heart, about that he was accept me as his disciple, and also this instruction to chant hard. But I've looked for it in the folios, and that letter is missing. I've never found it. But I've wondered about this, chanting hard. And it was interesting because then we heard, oh yeah, in May he was going to be coming to Boston. But of course May came and went and he didn't come. And I was thinking, okay, in the meantime I still have to chant hard. And then June came and he still hadn't come. And then finally in July he came. But, you know, it says there's no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada explains how chanting is just like the crying out of a child for its mother. And we should chant with love. You know, but I got the instruction that I should chant hard. And, you know, I thought about that, you know, a lot over that time. And I have this tendency to be lazy. And chanting hard, it's like it's hard to concentrate on the holy name. You always have to bring your mind back, you know, to the holy name. So that's hard. So that was, you know, one of the things that if I'm chanting hard, that means I'm concentrating and I keep bringing my mind back. And, you know, the other thing is, like, when we were chanting, Krishna is there. He's actually there in his holy name. It's like you're inviting him into your consciousness. And it's just like if you invite him to your house and then you ignore him, you know, it's like an offense. So we have to take, you know, the chanting seriously. There's no hard and fast rules, but we have to be careful that we don't commit the offenses, especially this inattention. So I don't know if anybody else has any realizations on this instruction of, in the meantime, chant hard. Madan?
Well, one thing, because when I hear words, they always kind of spin around in my head. So when you say meantime, I sometimes take the word to mean that it's mean, you know, that the time is mean because we're not with Krishna, so it's not so nice to us. So, and one of the things that I've noticed is that there's a phenomenon called a pocket call or a butt call. They sometimes that your phone rings and you answer it, and there's the person on the other side didn't really mean to call you. It just kind of happened automatically somehow or other, and they're not paying any attention to you. You hear them talking to someone else, or just the car's driving, or something like that. And I compare it to my inattentive chanting is you call Krishna, and he says, okay, I'm here, and we don't acknowledge that we made the call. So and everybody knows after a couple moments of listening to that call, you always hang up because the person, so that kind of, first you're very enlivened, oh, look who called me, yeah. How nice. And then you say hello, and they're not there. So we call Krishna, oh, look, he's called my name, I come, you know, he's all this nice devotion there, and he's not there. So that's been my remorse in that.
Thank you very much. Anybody else want to say something? Yes. Yes, that's what I also thought. To be very determined to chant hard and serious. Anyone else? Srivik Ram?
Sometimes the chant is going on, but you have other plans, or you're planning, you know, once the chant is going on there, you have other schemes going on in the mind, you see, and no focus in. So it's It's like you're doing two or three things at the same time.
Yeah, so we have to be conscious of what we're doing and try to do it with great love and attention. Whatever service we're doing. And of course, we have to remember that, you know, the purpose that we're doing these things is that Krishna wants us to come back to him. He actually loves us, and he wants us to reconnect in that loving mood again. Madan?
We got to keep thinking. And there's different stages, Adoshvara Satasanga. So it says in the bhava stage that one realizes Krishna and his name are non-different. So when you have that feeling, your feelings are there, you know, the budding of frame, when the fruit is almost there. When you can have the feeling, because we can know how we feel when someone like that Patko, that's an empathic idea, that we know how it feels to be kind of left out. And then you share that and you think, Krishna, I'm exposing you to that same feeling. But in bhava, you don't waste your time. And you know that Krishna and his name are not different. So that it's coming when we feel something.
Thank you. So yeah, and another big thing in this purport is how the Lord is the protector of his devotees. You know, there's so many examples, Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. And he's very inclined to his devotees, for one who remembers him. And I was thinking there is a very interesting pastime about a thief. And this thief, one day he heard that from some sages that Krishna, he goes to the forest every day and Mother Yasoda dresses him in valuable jewels. So the thief, he was thinking, wow, a little boy going in the forest with valuable jewels, I'll just go there and steal his jewels. So after hearing that, he went to Vrindavan. And he was constantly thinking, where is Krishna? But of course his motive was, he wanted to steal the jewels. But because he was so determined and serious in thinking about Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? He became purified, and Krishna became pleased with him, and he appeared before him. And so finally, when this thief saw Krishna and he had all the valuable jewels, he said, you know, Krishna said, you know, what can I do for you? And the thief said, well, give me your jewels. And Krishna started saying, well, no, if I give you my jewels, Mother Yasoda will become angry at me. And he had this exchange with the thief. And of course, by seeing Krishna, this thief became completely purified. And then, of course, he didn't want the jewels. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, who wanted a kingdom. But when he finally saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, you know, I was asking for broken pieces of glass, but I've got a valuable jewel. So once you see Krishna, once you become purified by associating with him, then you don't want anything else. And as I said earlier, this is a secret for success in Krishna consciousness, is not wanting anything else. You should only want to develop your Krishna consciousness. You should only want to please your spiritual master. And that way you can make very rapid advancement and not be deviated by Maya. Any other questions or comments? Yeah.
There are those 64 instructions by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and one of them is those whom Bhagavan favors, he he puts them in various difficulties. And I was thinking about this, your comment about chanting hard. And it seems like this putting into difficulties is related to chanting hard. We chant hard like when we're really calling out, when we're really, you know, in a difficult situation. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that those whom Bhagavan favors, he puts into difficult situations. Or he says something else, like he strews their path with thorns or something like more poetic. And he, you know, and that is his mercy, because in that situation we can chant hard. You know, if everything is going along just wonderful, we tend to become, like you said, complacent. Mm-hmm. And also I was thinking in this example of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, they were put into the situation of becoming trees. And any living entities who are like punished in some way, it's for their purification, you know, so they can suffer and so they can, you know, quote unquote, chant hard. So those are kind of like my thoughts.
All right, thank you. In the very back.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Thanks for such a nice class. On the point of anxiety, I remember hearing on a cassette tape Srila Prabhupada, I believe it was Vishnu Jan, asking the question, how do we please Krishna the most? And Prabhupada's answer was, by your anxiety, which made the devotees laugh. And then Prabhupada said, no, this is not my, it's Rupa Goswami saying, and he said, lolyam. By that intense desire to have Krishna. So that's one thing. And you just reminded me the tree thing. One of my relatives, I happened to, can't remember what made me say this to her, but I said, Prabhupada says that if a person likes to be naked, that he can become a tree and stand naked for thousands of years. And she said, that's a nice thought.
This is this sloka is actually the question number 3 of the 6 questions that sages ask. Mm-hmm. An answer given in many, I mean I have it, but there's like a 7 sloka in Bhagavatam answer. So answer is not here in this sloka, it's the question only.
Yeah.
But those who are listening, they can hear the answer on... The question summarized like, why did Lord Supreme Personal Godhead take birth in the from the womb of Devaki and Vasudeva? What is the purpose? Mm-hmm. So if you look at those slokas, and you will see come to this 3 conclusions that Prabhupada always quotes, comes to protect the devotees. Then Prabhupada also explained this, it's not that devotee needs protection. Prahlad Maharaj never needed protection. He was always protected. Mm-hmm. But it's a reciprocation of love exchange, loving exchange between the devotee and Krishna. This is what exactly meant. Mm-hmm. And the second is annihilation of the demon nature, because it's taking them more lower species.
Yeah, this is Bhagavad Gita 4, 8, 9, right?
Yeah, but yeah. But on those, well, that's true. And the third one is to establish eternal dharma. Mm-hmm. And so 1.2.34 is the first answer given by the acharyas. The second is 1.3.28, 1.8.35, 9.4.61. And it goes on. The mm-hmm. 10. These are the slokas given that why Lord appears. And the summary of this, that Lord appears for 2 reasons. One is for himself, and one is for the world and soul, conditioned souls.
Right.
One is for himself, that he actually wants to exchange, loving exchange, with those who are mature. It's interesting, 1, 2, 3, 4, Prabhupada writes even, and it will be coming soon, but it's good to keep a track, that Lord Krishna performed pastime to reclaim those in the modes of pure goodness. Now, it is not exactly conditioned soul. It is those Ishkan devotees who are coming to that platform. Conditioned soul is another purpose.
Yeah.
But in this verse, Prabhupada 1.2.34, it's for those devotees who already entering. They are coming in contact with pure goodness. For them, the Lord actually appeared to reclaim. He is now reclaiming. The conditioned soul has to come through step by step.
Mm-hmm.
Another point I was going to say, that when Prabhupada says, because this is a little argumentative in online, that Prabhupada says that we should hear when we chant. And some people are saying, why not we remember the pastimes of the Lord while we're chanting, that why Prabhupada says only hearing? But my question, I put it there also, did you ever chant to while you're hearing that you are chanting? When you are hearing that you are chanting, you separate yourself from this physical and mental. That's where the mind is under control. And the biggest effective way of chanting, that I don't mean to critical, but it's good to have each devotee record their chanting for 5 minutes and listen, and they will be surprised that, did I sound all the names of Krishna? Or did I say, Hare Krishna Ram Ram, Hare 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 Krishna Ram Ram Hare? So we're missing so many things. It is good to just to reflect. Why Prabhupada gave this word, that hear while chanting? Because when I'm hearing that I'm chanting, actually I separate from the physical and mental. It is the soul level, constitutional level. At that time, we will feel innate separation, longing for the Lord. It's bound to happen. It's happening to many, many of sincere devotees in movement. So that's why Prabhupada, everything Prabhupada says is very, very thoughtful. It's like very thoughtful. One place Prabhupada said, you are conscious being, are you conscious that you are, your consciousness is conscious of Krishna? That means you have to separate from the thought, because the distance of free will is between response and impulse. And 99% people are impulsive. Response comes from the soul. Impulse comes from the mind. So maybe my mouth is vibrating, but am I conscious that I am actually serving the holy name? Am I hearing? When I'm hearing, that is actually the time the soul is coming close to chant. Otherwise, the mouth is vibrating.
Okay, thank you very much. Right behind you.
I just want to add a little bit on what Pran Govinda Prabhu said. In terms of Krishna's appearing, the purpose, you know, he mentioned that it's only those who are coming towards that Krishna is claiming those. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he's here to reestablish Dharma. So in reestablishing Dharma, those who takes that path, they're the ones going towards him. So, and that's from that angle, yes, it's everyone, because he's here to establish Dharma for everyone. But we have to take the initiative to take up religious path, the Dharma, and then we can, you know, we can stake our claim in Krishna's house, like that. And also regarding chanting the holy names, one time Satrup Maharaj, I think he wrote in his Japa Reform notebook, that if you want to know how advanced we are, just say Hare and listen to that, and then say Krishna and try to listen with all our attention, and say the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra one time like that and see how much we can focus, and see if we can chant one round and thus our 16 rounds like that, and we will know how advanced we are.
Yeah. Madame.
I was also thinking in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the beginning, it mentions that the Lord has external reasons and internal reasons. So a lot of times, you know, it depends on which ones you're looking at, you know, that there's the external reasons and the internal reasons. And, of course, the internal reasons are always in the rasa tattva, you know.
Yeah, I thought of a question just now. You know, in Queen Kunti's prayers, where she's telling Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant about your glories, or take pleasure in others doing so, they certainly see, you know, the spiritual world. So I was wondering whether, like our preachers who, or any of us, when we try to get somebody to chant Hare Krishna, or we give them a book or something like that, and we're happy that they've just taken their very first step. Does that count in a similar way? I mean, we may not ourselves be deeply, deeply tasting, but we've tasted something, and we're very happy when we introduce someone else. So that's the question.
Not exactly sure I understand the question, but it sounds great. It sounds really nice. And of course, it's wonderful. Yeah, they're making their first... they're going towards Krishna now. Their spiritual life has begun. I mean, it reminds me of the story of Srila Prabhupada when he was in 26 Second Avenue and a bum walked in and didn't say anything, just put some toilet paper, you know, on the seat there and walked out. And Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, just see, his spiritual life has begun. So, yeah. And also, we want to begin our spiritual life. And it's always, every day we can begin again. You know, every moment we have to keep beginning our spiritual life and make sure, you know, that we're going in the right direction. And just one second, I just feel that I haven't given class here for quite a while, and for me, there is some anxiety, you know, about it, and I'm nervous, but I know that it's purifying, and that's actually one reason for speaking, is that you become purified, and even when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta told Srila Prabhupada to preach in the West, he said it'll be good for you, and it'll be good for the person who hear you. So, and just like the sages, they're asking these wonderful questions, and Sutta Goswami is going to give these wonderful answers, and it, you know, it takes two, and they both become purified. So, Prana, you were going to say something?
I have one quote here. Srila Prabhupada is expressing maybe some related to your question.
Oh, okay.
It's in 9.4.64. I'm really loud. You know, I have a loud voice.
Mm-hmm. Where's the mic?
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is self-sufficient. But to enjoy His transcendental bliss, He requires the cooperation of His devotees. In Vrindavan, for example, although Lord Krishna is full in Himself, He wants the cooperation of His devotees, like the cowherd boys and the gopis, to increase His transcendental bliss. Such pure devotees who can increase the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are certainly most dear to Him. Not only does the Supreme Personality of Godhead enjoy the company of His devotees, but because He is unlimited, He wants to increase His devotees unlimited. Those who are bringing the conditioned soul to participate in this pleases the Lord the most. Mm. Is that it?
Yes, thank you.
Very sweet.
Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.